Well, just before Reverend Kelly comes to bring the word, I again just encourage you to keep him and the other young men preparing for ministry. Keep them in your prayers. The greatest need of our day, I think I can say this, the greatest need of our day is for more preachers, faithful preachers. What's quite startling is that this great land has places, still many places, that are almost untouched. Some of them have a history. If you go back a couple of centuries, you could see that at one point there was a great presence of those that loved the Lord and preached the word, but that has changed. And one particular aspect of Reverend Kelly that has been encouraging is just gleaning from him in conversation his burden for such areas, and particularly for New England. And I don't know much about America. I mean, it's only 3 years that we have been here. And here we are in Greenville, and it's like church after church after church after church, just all over the place. And when I was discussing with him, and he was counting some of the details of the condition of places that are in New England, it's quite shocking. And there has to be a response by the church to this need. And it's not going to be easy, but the Lord is able. And certainly our brother is standing up and willing to go as the Lord will lead him and equip him. So keep him and all the young men in your prayers, and pray that God will go. And in a few weeks' time, he'll be speaking at our prayer meeting, and he'll give some details about the condition in that specific area. And I'm really looking forward to that on your behalf as well, to join in and just see what we're faced with in that part of America and the need that is there. So, brother, we love you in the Lord. Come and bring the word to us tonight. Amen.
After that introduction, I'm almost ready to do that now. But we will wait until Wednesday night. But I am thankful for this opportunity. Thank you to the session for allowing me to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the word of the Lord. I want us to take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 23 this evening. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Let us hear the word of the Lord together from Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We trust God will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us pray. My Father in heaven, I truly acknowledge the Lord tonight before thee. God, how reliant I am upon thee. God, the hymn writer, was right when he said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And God, I admit unto thee, O God, that, Lord, I am weak and I am frail. But God, thou art mighty. And I pray, God, that you would take this weak and frail man and fill him with the Holy Spirit. And that, God, that you would enable me to preach as it were an oracle of God. And Lord, I pray that thou wouldst encourage the hearts of thy people. Lord, as we so often read this psalm, God, it brings comfort immediately to our hearts. Might we find that comfort tonight from Thy Word. Lord, I pray tonight that You would anoint the preaching of Thy Word. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me that unction that makes preaching not just easy, but makes it effective and ministers to the hearts of Thy people. And God, might You make Thy people anointed by Thy Spirit as well to receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God. And God, we will be careful to give You all glory, all praise, for Thou art eternally worthy of it all. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There are no verses in God's Word that stir the hearts of God's people as these verses in which we have read this evening. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is a passage that many of God's people, no doubt, many times you yourself have turned to. And times of deep sorrow, times of affliction, and in times when your loved one has walked through the valley, the shadow of death, you have found yourself time and time again in this psalm. And each time you find yourself in this psalm, somehow, some way, it always comes with greater freshness, greater encouragement to your soul. This psalm that we read is ascribed to David. There you have it in the very beginning, a psalm of David. And David certainly was the right man to pen the psalm, for he was a man that knew the ins and outs of being a shepherd. David could write about the great shepherd of the sheep with great vividness. David knew what it was to feed the sheep. David knew what it was like to protect the sheep. And David knew what it was like to lead the sheep. And we as God's sheep experience the very same from the hand of God. We are gently led at times by our great shepherd. And oftentimes we are not only gently led, but we are placed, as it were, upon His shoulders and carried by the shepherd. And other times we are guarded by the great shepherd. And I ask you this evening, do you know Him as your shepherd? I'm not asking you tonight that your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your spouse knows Him as a shepherd. I want to know tonight, do you know Him as your shepherd? Can you say with David tonight, the Lord is my shepherd? Not someone else's shepherd, but your personal shepherd. Maybe you've come here tonight and you're struggling with how the Lord will provide and meet some need in your life. You may have come here tonight and deep financial trial. There is a God that is able to meet the need. You may have came here tonight with serious relational need and loneliness weighs down in your heart. And you feel that no one cares. There is a shepherd for your soul tonight. Maybe you've come here tonight and you have some emotional need. The Lord is able to meet the need. Maybe you've come here tonight and you're weary with life and you wonder where rest can be found. Or maybe you're simply just meandering through life and you're wondering where guidance is. The Lord is the one that gives guidance. Perhaps you come here tonight and it seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And everyone that could be against you is against you tonight. And it seems like many of the enemies have encamped against you round about. The Lord is able to come to where you are and deliver you. And maybe you wonder, as you approach the twilight years of your life, if you will finally reach at last that celestial shore, or as the hymn writer said, that golden strand that is just beyond the river. You wonder if God will be faithful to bring you across Jordan to the other side. But my friend, if you can say with David tonight, the Lord is my shepherd, then these questions of life will be answered. So I want to bring to you tonight the message. The shepherd of men. The shepherd of men. The first thing I want you to see about this great, grand, and glorious shepherd is found in verse 1. And he is a shepherd that is personal. Note what the psalmist said. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew Jehovah as the shepherd of his soul. The Lord was not just far off to David, but the Lord was nigh. The Lord was near to him. And what an amazing thing, because the psalmist says, the Lord, notice it's all in capitals. This is Jehovah God that has revealed himself to David. And what an amazing truth that the God who revealed himself to Moses on the backside of the desert. And Moses took off his shoes, for the place was too holy. And Moses asked the Lord, he said, Lord, who art thou? And what shall I tell them your name is? God looked to Moses and he said, Moses, you tell them, I am that I am. I am Jehovah God. This Jehovah God that spoke to Moses, it's the same one that has revealed himself to David. And he's the same one that condescended down to earth to commune with mankind and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who created the ages, condescended. The one that meted out the heavens with the span, that threw the stars against the velvet of the dark night, that made the stars a staircase, and he came down and he dwelt among men and tabernacled with mankind. That's the God that can be very personal to you tonight. That's the God that wants to minister to your heart tonight. And he delights to fellowship with man. Is it any wonder that David said in another psalm, in Psalm 8 and verse 4, what is man? But thou art mindful of him. But yet the one who said that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts, he is personal. He is not just a God out yonder. He's not just a God that's disinterested in your life. He's not just a God that is afar off. Oh no, he is a God that is nigh. As James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And maybe perhaps you feel tonight, oh yes, preacher, he'll be a shepherd for others. He'll not be a shepherd for me. And many people have this false idea in their mind that the Lord is just concerned about these great saints. Oh yes, the Lord will be a shepherd to my pastor. The Lord will be a shepherd to the elders. He'll even be a shepherd to the deacons. He'll be a shepherd to the Sunday school teachers. But I come to church every week and I'm not involved in much of anything. I'm faithful. I come to church. I'm here every service. I tithe. I pray. But the Lord's not interested in me. My friend, the Lord is very interested in you tonight. And the Lord is very interested in being personal and involved in your life. The Lord is concerned about the broken ones. He's concerned. I think about the example of David from the beginning of his life all the way to the end. When David was first anointed to be king of Israel, you remember that Samuel went to find Jesse. And as he went to find Jesse, he called for Jesse and he called for all his sons to come. And Samuel saw Elihu, and the Lord said, "This is not the Lord's anointed." And he brought all the sons before Samuel. And not one of them was chosen. And then you remember that Samuel said to Jesse, "Do you have yet another son?" He said, "Yes, I do." He's out in the fields and he's watching after the sheep. But certainly he would not be the one, would he? You remember that they went and they fetched him and they brought him back. And the Lord said to Samuel, "That's the anointed. You anoint him to be king over my people Israel." This was a man that was utterly insignificant, but not to the Lord. The Lord used him. But this man that then came out of obscurity, as it were, into Saul's house, later became king of Israel. But we know that he also committed sin with Bathsheba. He also put Uriah to the front lines and had him executed. He was also a man that fled in fear from Absalom. David was by no means a perfect man, but David could write, "The Lord is my shepherd." You might be here tonight. You by no means are perfect, just like every person in this room. I want you to know tonight that just as David knew the Lord to be a personal shepherd, despite his circumstances, the Lord can be very personal to you tonight. But David had come to know the Lord as the shepherd of his soul. And at the very end of his days, before he would go to rest with his fathers, he said in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 5, "He hath made with me an everlasting covenant." From beginning to end, David knew a personal covenant relationship with God. And I ask you, just as David knew God in a personal way, do you have a personal relationship with the God of heaven? Do you know Him as David knew Him? Like David, do you know this covenant of grace? This covenant that was ratified in Christ. And those that believe in Him, they receive pardon. All their sins are forgiven. They're washed underneath the blood, buried in the depths of the sea. Do you know this pardon tonight? Do you know it? The forgiveness of sin. The weight of the load of sin lifted off your shoulders. And the Holy Spirit implanted within. But not only pardon, but then He gives you a position. You are now seated in heavenly places with Christ. We are just as much in heaven tonight as we ever will be. We are seated with Him now in heaven, Paul said. Do you know His caring and personal embrace? Do you know Him as your personal shepherd? Because this is crucial. Because everything that follows in this psalm flows from our union with Christ. No union with Christ, none of the following blessings. The Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on to speak about the blessings and the thing that the Lord provides and meets in His various needs in His life. So if you have no union with Christ tonight, if you are not in Christ, if you have not been born again, these following blessings cannot be yours apart from a personal relationship with Christ. Crowning Him Lord of your life. Bowing the knee to King Jesus. And I pray that tonight you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not only is He a personal shepherd, but I want you to see secondly with me that He is a shepherd that provides. I shall not want. There it is in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now this does not mean that God intends to meet our every want. But He promises to supply our every need. Or we could say it this way. God said that He would meet our need, not our greed. The word here, want, here in this text, means as well lack or have a need. So the Lord is here promising that His people will never lack or ever have a need. But understand that this does not say that needs will not arise, but that there is one that is able to meet the needs of His people. We read in Philippians 4, in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus." According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus taught that He will not withhold any good thing from His people. That is, He will supply their need. We read that in Matthew 6, where He talks about how He supplies for the sparrows and how much more valuable is your life. We read later in the Psalms where David says, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread." We read David saying in Psalm 84:11, "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." How many times have you come to situations in your own personal life and you wonder how the Lord will meet the need? And you've done everything possible. You tried to transfer all the money from this account to this account. And you tried to contact this person. And it seems like everything has just fallen through. And you have no idea how the Lord will meet the need. Maybe you're between the rock and the hard place. And you cannot see how the Lord will come through. And just like natural sheep, they always constantly look to the shepherd to meet the need. I encourage you to take your eyes off the circumstance and to fix them upon the shepherd of your soul. Fix your eyes upon the shepherd. Are you not more valuable to God than all of the animal creation? God supplies, and you wake up in the morning and you open your shades and you look outside and you see the little birds digging in the ground for worms and bugs. The Lord supplies and meets their need. God says, "Are you not more valuable, more precious to me than them?" He said, "I will supply your need. I will give you clothes on your back, food in your belly. I will meet your need." Your lack and need is met and found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading a little book just recently called Our Fathers Have Told Us about a Northern Irish preacher that was a faith missionary that left from Northern Ireland. His name was L.K. McLoughlin, and he was burdened to reach the southern shore of Nova Scotia. And he left in the 40s. And he sailed by boat from Northern Ireland and he landed with his wife in Nova Scotia. And all he had was $5 to his name. And the Lord miraculously, as soon as he walked off the boat, miraculously supplied and met the need for housing and for food. He said many times all we had was porridge and potatoes in the cupboard, but the Lord was able to supply and met the need. We didn't have the best of food, but the Lord met every need. And it was encouraging to read how this man, everywhere as he went, he never told a single soul about any need that he had, but only God. And God answered prayer. I could tell you about George Mueller. I could tell you about so many, but time would fail us. My friend, God is able to meet the need. Doesn't matter how small or how large it is. God owns all the resources of heaven. And He's able to meet your need. So not only is our shepherd a personal shepherd, and a shepherd that provides, but third, see with me that He is a shepherd that restores. And verse 2 and 3, He leadeth me. Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Verse 2 is really a picture to us of restoration. The literal sense of verse 2 could be read this way, and I want you to get the sense of it. It could be read this way. He maketh me to lie down in pastures of tender grass. He leadeth me beside the waters of rest. This is a serene image that is painted by the psalmist. The Lord is the one that leads His sheep into the pastures of tender grass on a sunny and beautiful day. I remember my son and I, Elijah, were one day going on a backpacking trip. We were up in New Brunswick, and we were in Mount Carlton Provincial Park, and we were hiking the peak of Mount Carlton. We had hiked about 5 kilometers in, and we had set up our tent. And I remember after we set it up, we slept, and we woke up the next day, peaked, and went to the peak, and we came down. And I remember it was very hot, and as we were coming down the side of the mountain, and the hot summer sun shining down upon us, and probably not hot for South Carolina folk, but for us up in New England, it was very hot. And I remember as we came down the mountainside that we came upon this beautiful mountain stream. And there was shade. There were nice, beautiful maple trees overshadowing the stream. And I remember we took off our backpacks and I took some water from that mountain stream, and it was nice and it was cool, and we sat down and we were refreshed. And that's the picture that God is putting before you today. This is what the Lord wants you to enjoy. A place of rest. On a hot day, He brings us to refreshing streams where there are trees to shade us and the calming sound of a rushing stream. And it is this that restores the soul. The sheep need food to keep them going, and then waters of rest to be refreshed. As people of God, we need rest. Many of us, maybe you come here tonight and you feel like you are running ragged. You feel like you're running on empty. And you feel like you cannot even make it till tomorrow. You feel the pressures of life pressing in upon you like a vice grip, just squeezing all of the life out of you. The burdens are heavy. The battles are real, and they're hard and they're difficult. And even you young people, you have found, like Isaiah, that the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Isaiah 40 and verse 30. You see, it does not matter our age. We are all susceptible to burnout. And what are we to do, and what are you to do when you have burned the candle out on both ends and the candle has gone out? My friend, you find added strength and grace in the Lord Jesus. And maybe you are here tonight and you are one of those people that are running ragged. You are one of those people who feel squeezed by the pressures of life, and the battles are real, and you have burned out the candle on both ends. Today the Lord stretches out His hands to you and He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You will not find rest tonight when you go home on your cell phone looking at social media. That will not give you rest. You will not find rest tonight and turning on Fox News when you leave this place. You will not find rest in looking at a host of other things or fulfilling your own lust. There's rest only to be found in Christ. And so He says, "You come to me. What you long for is found in me." And you know what the joy about it is? The joy about it is this, is He wants you to come. He pleads with you tonight. And the offer is on the table. He says, "You come to me And in the authority of the Word of God, I can promise you that He will give you the rest for which you seek. The Lord has promised to restore and give much needed rest to His weary sheep. So take comfort. The Lord does not desire that you go on with no energy, but rather He desires to put wind in your sail, pep in your step, and joy in your heart. And so He is the shepherd that desires to restore you. So we see not only is our Lord a personal shepherd, a providing shepherd, a restoring shepherd, but I want you to see forth with me that He is the shepherd that guides. In verse 3, see it there with me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now the word leadeth here could also be translated simply guideth. Now natural sheep do not know where they are to go. And they need gracious guidance. If you ever see sheep, many times they need to be guided either by the shepherd or by the sheepdog. But someone is guiding them. So it is with God's people. We as God's sheep need to be gently guided into the paths of righteousness. Now you might ask the question, why do I need to be led into paths of righteousness? What is the opposite of this? Well, the opposite of this is that you begin to backslide. You begin to go the wrong direction, away from the Lord and away from the shepherd. And so we need to be constantly led and guided on these paths of righteousness. But the question could be asked, how? Preacher, how tonight can I be led onto these paths of righteousness? Well, there's just a few things in which the Lord uses to lead us into the path of righteousness. The first thing the Lord uses is this. He uses His Word. The Lord uses His Word to guide you and to lead you into paths of righteousness. The psalmist would later say in Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. And it is a light unto my path. The Word lights and enlightens our darkness. And it is the Word of God that will lead you in the proper way. If you want to know what God would have you do, open up the book of God and read it. And God will guide you in accordance to His Word. But also second, how do I know which way the Lord will lead me? How do I know to be led on these paths of righteousness? Not only the Word of God, but the promptings of the Spirit. Particularly in the place of prayer. As you pray, the Spirit of God will lead you. Now you must understand, the Spirit of God will never lead you to ever do anything contrary to His Word. He will always lead you in accordance with the Word of God. Never contrary. So if anyone ever comes to you and says, well, the Spirit of God told me to do this, and it's directly contradictory to the Word of God, you know that it was not the Spirit of God that told them to do that. Because the Spirit of God always speaks in accordance to His Word. And the Spirit of God, thirdly, speaks through the instructive preaching of the Word of God. So as you are here tonight, the Spirit of God speaks to you. As you are here Sunday morning, the Spirit of God speaks to you through the preaching of the Word. As you are here Wednesday night or other opportunities you have to hear the Word. It was Heinrich Bullinger that put in the Second Helvetic Confession this, that the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. That is serious. The preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. It is a serious thing when you listen to the Word, but it is a serious thing when the man preaches the Word. This is how the Lord speaks, but also He speaks forth through godly guidance, through your elders. We should be very thankful and grateful for the elders that God has given in our church. And God can lead through these men and has done so in days gone by. But if you want guidance, you know what? You can go to one of your elders. And you know what they'll do? They'll take this book and they'll open it up. Because even they cannot guide you apart from this book. It is this book that guides in all things. And so I trust that you will know the shepherd that guides. It is the Word of God, the promptings of the Spirit, the instructive preaching of the Word, and guidance of godly men in your life. These are God's gracious gifts by which He guides you into paths of righteousness. So not only is our shepherd a personal shepherd, a providing shepherd, a restoring shepherd, a guiding shepherd, but I want you to see fifth with me that He is a shepherd that protects. Look with me in verse 4 and verse 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Note that phrase, the valley of the shadow of death. It's a very interesting phrase. The Hebrew in this phrase could be translated as well, the valley of deep darkness. Another says that this indicates extreme danger. And it is in these valleys of deep darkness that God is there to protect us. You know, those of us that have little children, we know what it's like for children to be terrified of the dark. And if you don't put their nightlight in their room, you know what happens when the nightlight's not in the room. But not only are little children afraid of the dark, I have found at times that even adults are afraid of the dark. If you were to go to downtown New York City, and you're in a rough neighborhood all by yourself, and it's dark, and you go around the unlit corner, you might be wondering what waits for me, and there might be fear within your heart. We too adults fear what lies in the darkness. Not only our children, but us as adults. Why? Because we know that great sins against humanity many times take place in darkness. In the darkness lies the unknown. The unseen, which creates an atmosphere of fear. But we as a sheep are promised that as we walk through the valley of darkness, we have no reason to fear the evils of men or devils. Why? How can it be? Because He says in this same verse, Thou art with me. The God of heaven is with you and I. Our God is with us whithersoever thou goest, Joshua said. Our Savior said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Not only is He with us, but as He is with us and He is behind us, He is carrying His rod and staff to protect us. He brings the rod to drive off the enemy. And He brings the staff to gently pull us in when we begin to stray in the darkness. This provides great comfort for the sheep. So I encourage you tonight, learn to stay under the shadow of the shepherd. Learn to dwell there as a child of God, underneath His shadow. Where you are near and close proximity to Him. So great and manifold is God's protection that He spreads a feast in the presence of our enemies. And He bids us come. And God promises His protection even then. I want you to see with me as well, number 6. He is the shepherd that blesses. Look with me in verse 5. He says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This puts before us in a beautiful language that of blessing. Thou anointest my head. It denotes the idea of special service, and no doubt David knew this. David himself was anointed with oil. Remember, by Samuel, anointed as king. And we that are saved by God's good grace, too, have been anointed, but not just with oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And you and I have been anointed with the Spirit of God and appointed to a special task or mission, each one of us. Not just the pastor. All of us have been appointed by God to do something in His providential divine will. All of us have a divine purpose in the will of God. And as God's people, we have been anointed with this Holy Spirit. And because of our union with Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit, God's blessings overflow in our life. Out of our innermost being flows rivers of living water, John 7:38. I don't have time to go into all the needs of the fullness of the Spirit tonight, but if I could, I would. But just say this, we are to be constantly filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Because of these blessings that we have in Christ, God's goodness and mercy are said to follow us. And this word translated follow means to pursue hardly after. Kind of reminds me of Psalm 63 and verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. But in this sense, in Psalm 23, it is mercy and goodness pursuing after the child of God. So I want you to understand that tonight. That mercy and goodness are not things that we need to pursue. But as a child of God, they pursue you tonight. What a blessing. Mercy and truth. Mercy and goodness shall follow me, ardently follow me all the days of my life. What a grace it is. The last thing I want you to see with me tonight as regards our great shepherd is this. That He is a shepherd that brings us to heaven. The last thing the psalmist says is this. And I will dwell. In verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the grand and the final act of Christ as our shepherd. All through our life, He has provided. He has restored us time and time again. He has guided us. He has protected us. And He has blessed us and lavished His Spirit upon us. And goodness and mercy are pursuing us. I ask you that when it comes time to go through the valley of the shadow of death, do you really think that your Savior will fail you at death? There's not a chance. Not a chance. This is Him ushering us into the very presence of God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice David's certainty of this. David didn't say, I hope I might dwell in the house of the Lord. Does your Bible read that way? I know mine doesn't. It doesn't say, I hope to dwell, or maybe one day I will dwell if I do X, Y, and Z. No. David said, I will. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever, my friend. And just as David was certain that the great shepherd of the sheep would usher him into the presence of God, you can have that same confidence today that the great shepherd of the sheep will at last, at the proper time, when you go through the valley of weeping, and you're in the valley of the shadow of death, and the death rattle is there in your throat, and you wonder the Lord will bring you safe to the other side, you can mark it down that the great shepherd of the sheep will at the proper time stretch out His staff, and He will safely pull you across Jordan to the celestial shores of heaven forever. You will reach that golden strand just beyond the river. And you are guaranteed to arrive safe and sure. And when you arrive, we are promised to be there forever. And there will be none ever cast out or put out of heaven. Once you are there, my friend, you are there forever. Forever with the Lord. What a joyous thought. So in conclusion, I ask you, do you know Christ as your shepherd today? Do you know Him? Are you burdened by the trials of life? As I say to you, Christ has already given you the invitation. He says, you come to me and I'll give you the rest for which you seek. You need guidance in your life and you say, preacher, I just don't know what God would have me do. You know where God can give you that guidance? In His Word. God will guide you through the Scripture. And there is one that points you in the right direction. Maybe enemies are coming in like a flood upon you. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And you fear the darkness of your days. There is one that can guide you through the valley of darkness. And my friend, He is a dependable guide. Our Savior, the great Shepherd of the sheep, is a dependable guide. He has never lost one that has traveled through the valley of darkness with Him. Not a single one. And those that travel with Him, He will protect. The Shepherd promises that mercy and goodness will pursue you all the days of your life. For you are the object of His affection. And Christ, the Grand Shepherd of the sheep, will one day guide you through the valley of the shadow of death into the light of His eternal presence. And He will never fail in bringing His sheep safely to the other side. And there the sheep, there you and I that are His children, will be in pastures of tender grass. And by the waters of rest where the tree of life is, will ages rule forever and forever and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word this evening. God, I thank You for the truths of Holy Scripture. God, I thank You for this psalm. God, every single time I read it, God, You speak to me. God, I thank You that we have a book that is alive. It is quick. It is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, I pray, Lord, tonight, there be anyone outside of Christ, that, Lord, if there be anyone that cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd, that God, they would seek someone out tonight and ask how they can know Christ forever as their Savior. God, I do pray for those saints that are weary, and those that are troubled by the trials of this life, God, will You show them from Thy Word and remind them of these things in which we have spoken of, that we have a great Shepherd. And He is a faithful guide all the way to death. And Lord, we pray that You would bring that reality home to their heart, that they would be much comforted by Thy Word. So God, we thank You again for this opportunity to preach Thy Word. Might Your Word run in the hearts of Thy people tonight. So Lord, as we depart this place, please, Lord, allow the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask all of this in Christ Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.